On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? It is almost that time. The NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away. It's about 10 days away. Roger Goodell will be at the podium, getting booed loudly, I'm sure. The first pick will be in, and then the Redskins will be on the clock about 15 picks later, barring a trade up, a trade down. I'm JP Finley. We are going to have more Redskins draft content than you could possibly imagine. Nobody covers the Redskins like we do. I tell you that all the time. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Today, we're going to bring in our good friend Josh Norris, Roto World NFL analyst. Josh and I are going to go through the Redskins' biggest needs, the things they have to address in this draft if they're going to get better on the field for 2019. That could mean quarterback. That could mean edge rusher. Could mean lots of things. Josh Norris has an encyclopedia in his brain as far as who these draft prospects are and what they can do. Let's start here, though. I wrote this story on the My Teams app last week about the five biggest needs for the Redskins to address in the 2019 draft. The top of the list, we've been talking about him forever. I know you listen to the Redskins Talk podcast. We've been talking about QBX for months. Case Keenum and Colt McCoy are only under contract for 1 year. Alex Smith has a serious injury that none of us know if he's ever going to play again. So this guy, Mr. Josh Norris, up there in Stamford, Connecticut. Norris, how you doing, buddy? What's the word?
I'm doing great, JP. I love talking football with you, so I'm glad we get to sit down here for about the next 30 minutes and hash it out, try to see and try to predict what Washington's going to do.
Absolutely. Usually when we talk football, we're in the backseat of a car in Mobile, Alabama, so this is a much more comfortable setting.
Look, I mean, but there's something about, you know, the little quaint confines of a rental car with three large men trying to sip on their Starbucks coffee while holding microphones. It's a little bit nice to hear in these studios.
As weird as that sounds, I'm going to explain what Norris and I are laughing about. For the Redskins Talk podcast, I always grab Josh when we're down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, but often there's nowhere quiet to go sit down, so we sit in my rental car, thus two guys, three guys in a car talking football. Today, though, we're in comfortable studios. We got fancy visuals to help us along the way. Norris, let's start at the top of my list. And if you disagree with my list, because I know you study NFL rosters just as much as you're studying college game film. At the top of my list, though, QBX, the Redskins have to address a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, or I allow this one caveat, a quarterback on a rookie contract that could mean a potential trade for a guy like Josh Rosen. I think that is paramount for this football team. What do you see them doing?
Well, and I think throughout this whole conversation, I'm going to be asking questions back to you because I want to really learn as much as I can about Washington. And it's interesting, though, that, you know, we've penciled in or almost pinned in Kyler Murray at pick number one, obviously the Cardinals, for a very long time.
Right.
But now, JP, it's being reported that he's even visiting Washington, right? And you know, we don't have to travel too far back, like 365 days, to another prospect in Sam Darnold that was considered the number one overall pick. And then, you know, the week of the draft, we find out, no, that's not true. And then, you know, the visits that he took throughout the process really did matter. They made a difference. I certainly don't think that Kyler's going to be there for 15,
right?
So if we're talking about a rookie quarterback in the first round, Dwayne Haskins would make the most sense to me. Do you think his style is the type that would fit with Washington? Because he is very much an in-structure quarterback. He's someone that, you know, his 3-5, 7-step drop wants to hit his back foot, recognize the open man. He'll go off play action. He'll work on his second and third read. But there's no really mobility factor there. He wants to work within the structure and the confines of the offense. Do you think that kind of appeals to Jay Gruden?
I think there's a lot to unpack there, and I think Haskins I don't know how, but somehow his stock is worse now than it was in early January. Yeah. The draft's an interesting beast like that. Let's start with Kyler taking his visit to the Skins, because we all know that's happening. I believe Schefter had it. The Redskins love Kyler Murray. I just don't think they're going to be able to get Kyler Murray. Now, if something crazy happened, the Cardinals take Bosa, the Niners take, you know, another D lineman, and then all of a sudden you do have Kyler Murray available at 3, the New York Jets pick. The Jets are very interested in shopping that pick, trading down, gathering more assets. I would not be shocked if the Skins tried to make a huge leap up for Kyler Murray. All of that said, I still think the Cardinals are taking him, and that's where he lands with the number one overall pick. So then for the Skins, if we're talking QB, especially early in the first round, the conversation is your guy, Dwayne Haskins, that you talked about, system-dependent, pocket guy, zero mobility. And I don't say zero mobility in that he's not going to run read option for you. He's not going to be an RPO guy. I don't know that he can even successfully slide around the pocket to avoid pass rush. Like you see, Phillip Rivers doesn't have any mobility, but he also avoids big hits and is able to avoid sacks. I don't know that at this stage of his development that Haskins can even do that.
And JP, that's super important now when we're talking about young NFL quarterbacks that are successful, right? Like, form that list in your head, the young passers that are helping their teams. All but basically one are mobile, and right. I would say Jared Goff is not the mobile one. I mean, you even have quarterbacks that really fail outside of structure or might not be as consistent throwing the football out of structure, and Mitchell Trubisky and Josh Allen really elevating their team in those moments because of their running ability. Yep. Dwayne Haskins will give you zero of that.
So I think it's interesting to watch as the Haskins stock has taken these hits, really, since the combine, especially, I would say, when he ran the really slow 40, showed a lack of quickness. But this team does like his ability. He's got a great arm, and that's what's most important for a quarterback. What I go back to, Josh, is kind of the comparison between Drew Locke and Dwayne Haskins. I don't know that Locke gets to 15. Frankly, I don't think he will.
Wow. Interesting.
Do you think Locke? Well, so let me just tell you the quotes that really stood out to me. When we were in Arizona talking with Jay Gruden at the annual coaches breakfast, Gruden said he believes Locke is closer to being able to start right away and that a guy like Haskins needs a lot more seasoning because he only had the one season at Ohio State. Do you think Locke is ready right away? I know you and I have one thing in common when we look at these quarterbacks. We like to see accuracy. Drew Locke was not a particularly accurate passer in his time at Missouri.
Yeah, and to me, it's even more important how they handle success under pressure, right? Or how successful they are in the disruption under pressure. And Drew Locke goes crazy. He goes haywire.
His feet go nuts.
Oh, yeah. And like, what I want, like, let's say, in a fantasy land, I was an offensive coordinator for a team, right? Like, what I would want is to know how my quarterback is going to react in certain situations. And if with Drew Locke, you don't know how he's going to react under pressure, that's a major issue. You know, he will force passes down the field. He will make awful decisions. And that's consistent. And it's especially consistent when he's playing from behind. So I would much rather take my chances and not maybe at 15, but if you have to take a quarterback, you have to take one with Dwayne Haskins than someone like Drew Locke, even if the quote-unquote ceiling is a little bit higher there.
So there was one other thing I wanted to circle back to when we started the conversation about quarterbacks, and you asked, do you think Haskins is the right guy for Jay Gruden's system? I'm not so sure that the Redskins are basing their decision on the right guy for Jay Gruden's system. Jay Gruden
Good
has
point.
2 years left on his deal. They haven't made the playoffs in three straight seasons. I don't know that he's going to fill out the rest of this contract. I think there were a good amount of people locally that didn't think Gruden would survive this offseason. I think you can point to the Alex Smith injury as the turning point for the 2018 Redskins. But I don't know that the front office, who's largely pretty secure in their jobs, I would say, has to build around Jay Gruden's West Coast offense. Now, that said, I don't think they can take a guy like Kyler Murray, somebody that you really have to build around without completely changing their offensive structure. And the flip side of that is the front office, Bruce Allen, Doug Williams, Jay Gruden, they all say how close this Redskins football team is. There's this nebulous idea of close to the Redskins. Close to what? I'm not sure. But I believe they think they could be competing for the NFC East title. and getting into the playoffs, maybe getting the divisional round of the playoffs, and if they do feel they're close to that, Josh, I don't know that they want to add a rookie quarterback.
Interesting.
If I'm Jay Gruden, I probably want it, the best edge rusher I can get at 15, wide out help, tight end help, other positions.
But then it's Case Keenum. I mean, then you have Case Keenum as your quarterback.
Right.
And like you talked about close to something. I mean, it's closer to mediocre than it is closer to Super Bowl. We both agree with that. And I understand they dealt with a whole bunch of injuries last year. I do want to spin this forward, though, JP, because, I mean, the Josh Rosen situation has been linked heavily to Washington.
Yep.
Almost certainly if the Cardinals select Kyler Murray at number one, then he'll get dealt. Now, it went from like a two-day span of, oh, yeah, check in Washington some houses.
Yeah, Josh that was Rosen Peter too. King's haiku in Football Morning in America.
Correct. No, they're not interested at all. JP, where on the spectrum do you think the Redskins' interest is in someone like Josh Rosen, who, might I add, his evaluation is very similar to Dwayne Haskins?
My big brother, Brian Mitchell, always calls this lying season. And I believe the Cardinals got too far out on the Kyler Murray stuff that really nobody believes that they're taking somebody else, and they're trying to pull that thing all the way back. I think the Skins, Bruce Allen is in charge of trades over there in Ashburn, and in no way does he allow for that stuff to leak. So that there was so much conversation around a possible trade for Josh Rosen, I also think the Redskins brass wanted to rein that stuff back in. So wherever you thought the odds of this trade happening were a week ago, and what I've been saying on my podcast is 1 in 5. I think there's about a 20% chance this happens, especially if it means you're not giving up a first-round pick. The Skins do not want to give up 15. But I think there's about a 20% chance of this thing happening, and that hasn't gone up or down from the haikus about buying condos in Northern Virginia or the reports. And it was Mike Garofolo of NFL Network that said, guys, all the talk around Rosen and the Redskins is way off base. I had Garofolo on our podcast last week, and he said, I'm not saying the deal is dead. I'm just not saying it's happening at the rapid pace that some folks were leading to believe.
Got it. Okay. And I mean, if it were to happen, then it would probably take 46 and, you know, a pick in 2020 as well. So, I mean, again, that's better than a selection that you're not certain of at 15.
Sure. Well, and let's get to edge rushers then, Norris, because I contend that's got the highest ceiling of a player you're going to get at 15. Am I right in thinking with the 15th overall pick, there's a potential Pro Bowl 12, 14 sack guy out there available?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, everyone's talking about how great this edge rusher group is, and it's going to be top heavy.
It might be super unconventional. It's not necessarily strict outside guys, right?
Right. Well, I mean, these are the names that will be probably top 10 selections. Okay. You have your Josh Allen, you have your Montez Sweats, you have your Nick Bosa's, your Rashawn Gary's. Okay. So probably four edge rushers will go in the top 10 picks. It might even be five with Brian Burns, right?
The name I wanted to ask you about.
Right, and we can certainly talk about him. But the issue with that is if everyone's saying that such a good edge and defensive end group, those guys will be taken early, right? It's one of the pillars of football is pass rushing with four. And if you have someone on your team that offers the potential to win every single one-on-one situation, hey, guess what? He's going to be selected early. And then after that Brian Burns pick, it really falls off a cliff to me. So there at 15, if Burns is on the board, it does make sense. Even if to me, JP, and we can get into this, I'm not sure if his type of his leaner, taller frame matches up with the type of edge rushers they've taken in previous years.
So let's just go right into that because it's not. It's kind of the opposite of what they've taken over the last few years. Especially Ryan Kerrigan has been Mr. Dependable for the Redskins. Hasn't missed a game in his career. You can almost pencil him in for 11, 12 sacks every season. But beyond that, they haven't really hit home runs, certainly. And I think you could argue that they haven't even really hit doubles.
So How dare you say that about my boy Preston Smith? How dare you say that?
Now, I know you love Preston. He had a couple very good years, but he was wildly inconsistent. Never had double-digit sacks. Of his four seasons in Washington, I think he had two with more than eight sacks and two with four or less. Now, he showed other things. He was capable against the run. He was so athletic that he could create turnovers. But beyond Preston Smith, Josh, think about Trent Murphy, who they took in the second round. That was probably an overdraft for a guy with high production in college who was all muscle and able to just run over college tackles. Then they did the same thing with Ryan Anderson from Alabama, who, who still has the potential to show more, but we haven't seen really any glimpses of that. Jay Gruden specifically challenged Ryan Anderson when we were talking to him in Arizona. I think it's time for the Skins to get away from the big, strong, bull-rushing OLBs and go for a bendy speed guy off the edge.
For sure.
And to me, that's Brian Burns.
Right. And but the question is, if you think that, do they believe that as well? Right?
I don't know that they're listening to me, dude.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, but that's where the NFL is going, right?
Sure.
Where defensive fronts are becoming more multiple, so you can rush from multiple alignments, multiple angles. However, a lot of these NFL decision makers have been in their position for very long, so they believe what they know is correct and yada, yada, yada. I even did my homework, and you mentioned a few of those names, right? Like Ryan Anderson, 6'2", 253. Preston Smith, 6'5", 271. Trip Murphy, 6'5", 250. Ryan Kerrigan, 6'4", 267. I know Brian Burns is 6'5", and weighed in 249 at the combine, but man, oh man, he probably had to eat six meals a day to get to that 250. Because he was playing around probably 235 at FSU. I love him, though, JP, as a prospect. I love his bend. I love his explosion. He tested like a ridiculous athlete, like in the 95th
That's
percentile.
That's what they need. They need team speed and athleticism.
Yep, and so if he won, here's my thing. Edge rushers are one of the true one-on-one matchups on an NFL field, right? And so if you won and had production in college due to your athleticism, hey, and then you test as a 95th percentile athlete, meaning you're more athletic than 95% of the edge rushers entering the NFL, then to me your game will translate. And so that's why he's going to be a top 15 selection. I think 15 is probably the latest he'll go.
Well, it's interesting because I followed all your work at RotoWorld and on Twitter and everything. And I think the combine and the athletic testing gets overblown in some positions.
How dare you?
I know. But hold on. Here comes the backhanded compliment. I believe on the offensive line and the defensive line is where that stuff is really important. And I think the 40 is way less important than their three cone. And when you start getting into all that spark stuff, that gets a little over my head. But that's where it really makes sense. What those guys can broad jump actually matters when they're trying to get around. And the other thing I noticed watching Brian Burns is that there's effort on every play, including chasing down run plays that go the opposite side of him. Things, that kind of stuff always translates on the next level.
And JP, if I can say one more name, like, you know, if you need to take a pass rusher, usually you have to take them in round one. And I know that the Redskins have looked in round two as well. But I'll throw a second round name at you, or maybe a second or third round name. And that's Christian Miller out of Alabama. Obviously, we know
they like
that
Alabama.
Washington's just a little bit. Just a little bit. It might be a pipeline there.
Sure.
And he's of that frame we're talking about, 6'3", 247. And to me, why he's kind of lasting in mock drafts and rankings at that time of the draft is because he's missed basically the entire draft process due to a hamstring injury, right? He missed the Senior Bowl because of it. He missed the NFL Combine because of it. But you look at a Leonard Floyd-type player or someone that has that bend, that has that flexibility to turn the corner, but also can hold his edge, and that's Christian Miller. And very often do you get that as a discount in day two of the draft rather than day one.
Well, and Norris, that is a really, really smart player to point out for the Redskins. They have a definite history of taking guys that slide a little bit because of injuries. And look at Kendall Fuller, look at Fabian Moreau. Those were first round type talents that slid because they suffered injuries. They are not scared away as long as their medicals show something could work. And we certainly know that they have a good conversations with the folks in Tuscaloosa. If everything comes back clear on a kid like Miller, maybe he really does make sense for them. I want to move on to my next need for the Redskins. And this one comes directly from the head coach's mouth. The Skins' run game and pass game did not speak the same language, and it hurt them throughout the season in 2018. Their play action didn't work. Linebackers weren't biting at all. A huge part of that was that they couldn't have tight ends on the field that the defense believed were out there to run block. So Jeremy Sprinkle was their run blocking tight end. They ran almost 80% of the time he was on the field. That's a huge tendency. Defensive coordinators eat that stuff up. Jay Gruden said, we've got to figure out a way that we have Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, Jeremy Sprinkle, that teams don't know our tendencies when we're on the field. The only way to clear that up, Coach, is to change the personnel. We know they've had Waring, the kid from San Diego State, the tight end, in.
Uh-huh.
I believe if you're talking about five edge rushers going before 15, there's going to be a few quarterbacks. We know that. There's some other can't-miss guys, maybe interior defensive guys. I want to start it with T.J. Hockenson. What are the chances he gets to 15? I think talking with Chris Cooley, who is a very well-versed Redskins expert down here, Hockenson would be a dream pick for the Skins offense. Where are you on him, and will he make it to 15?
Well, and, you know, maybe Chris Cooley knows a little bit more about tight ends than I do. We can throw that out there as well. Look, T.J. Hockenson is a really, really good player. I think he has the potential to be a top 15 pick. There, the Green Bay Packers in the early teens or 12 or wherever they are, makes a lot of sense for them because they kind of have that same issue with Jimmy Graham trotting him out there. Tight end to me, JP, is like the slowest developing position in the NFL. Okay, and it makes sense because of what you're talking about. You basically need to be a sixth offensive lineman, and you basically need to be, what, the fourth wide receiver on the field. And it doesn't matter what the play is called necessarily or what the personnel grouping is. And that's difficult. With that said, at Iowa, you had basically two inline tight ends with T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant.
Right.
And both are outstanding athletes. I mean, T.J. Hockenson is 6'5", 251, testing the 85th percentile. You saw him attack the intermediate and downfield portions of the field. Plus, he gets after it as a run blocker. Like I said, it is difficult to find tight ends, even if George Kittle and, you know, your Evan Ingrams, your O.J. Howards, whatever. They're kind of the rare breed right now that is producing early on. I wouldn't say that's going to last, but if one from this first round is going to, it's probably going to be T.J. Hockenson.
You think he gets to 15?
I think that's a little sweet spot. Like I said, like Green Bay, if they don't take him at 12, then 15 makes a lot of sense.
So better chances of Brian Burns or Hockenson getting to 15?
I would say they're in that same tier. I would say Hockenson. I think Hockenson has a better chance of being there just because we don't see, you know, that often top 15 talents at the tight end position. And so teams might elevate that edge rusher spot over the tight end spot.
What's so interesting about the pre-draft process, and not to go back to the edge guys, is that I think a lot of Skins fans were hoping, thinking Montez Sweat was their guy at 15. And then between the performance of the Senior Bowl and then the combine, no chance.
No chance.
Other tight end names further down the list. I mentioned Waring. Are there other guys you like that the Skins could be targeting third, fourth, fifth, and then Saturday picks as well?
Yeah, and I don't think that they'll take him at 15, but I do want to mention Noah Fant just because I think a lot
He's
of people, the other Iowa
for days.
Tight end. Yeah, and a lot of people consider him like that Evan Ingram type tight end, but he's not. He's really much more of an inline option, and so he's a much better blocker than we give him credit for. A name I'll throw out is Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M. And he is kind of maybe more of your receiver type, but he did play a lot of inline tight end as well. In fact, he basically played all over. He played H-back.
Yeah, but inline tight end, I guess A&M's playing in the SEC now, so maybe they're running the ball a little bit.
So H-back, and they're Jimbo Fisher's offense, so you know that's a lot of pro-style
concepts. Pro-style, right. What do you think of the Waring kid? He's raw.
He is, and so is like a Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss. Like, you know, once you move down the list here, it's just not that fascinating of a ton of names, and you're going to get a wide range of opinions. Like Alize Mack out of Notre Dame played more H-back, played in line.
Also a great name, Alize.
And he's a fantastic option in the red zone. But if you do miss out on those top two, both those Iowa tight ends, you're really going to have to hit home. I'll quickly throw out one more name. I know I've thrown a lot. But Trevon Wesco out of West Virginia. He gets after it as a blocker. Gets after it. So he's a fun one that might slip in there in like round three, round four, round five range.
Norris, can you confirm for me? I think it's two cups Alize go into a glass of Thug Passion. Do you remember from the Tupac song?
I believe it's
two cups, Alize. I'll have to look that up.
That is before my time.
All right. Wide receiver. The Skins very obviously need a wide receiver. But I don't think there's one good enough at 15. Am I crazy? Because every talent evaluator, the guys I've talked to, the wide receiver run isn't going to start until the 20s in this draft. You tell me otherwise.
Well, let me cite a tweet from someone named J.P. Finley back on March 6th. Okay.
Uh-oh. Is this old takes exposed?
Quote, have heard lots of Ashburn folks saying they need a playmaker. Then JP, like when I was back on the RSN scene with NBC Sports Washington. I was told that you don't think that they'll take a wide receiver at 15.
They need a playmaker. I just don't think is DK Metcalf. Who's your number one wide receiver on the board? And if it's Josh Norris's draft board, is that guy all the way up at 15? I don't think he is.
I love Hakeem Butler, but let's talk about DK Metcalf because a lot of people love him as a prospect, okay? I understand your point of, hey, is this forcing a player to a need? Well, you know, someone's going to have to start that run at the wide receiver position at some point.
Man.
and the wide receiver position and the cornerback position are a lot like that or similar in this year's class. But DK, like, he is a freak athlete, as you know, testing the 97th percentile. My issues with him was he was locked to the left side of the formation. You know, he does not move, okay? He ran three routes. It was a go route, it was a comeback, and it was a curl route. And he is going to out-athlete you. He's going to out-muscle you. But there's no real nuance there. There's no real mobility in terms of moving across the formation and maximizing opportunities and matchups. And so he was able just to perfect that left side of the field. And I think that that's a major question you have to answer moving forward.
Well, and I'd add, clearly the vertical speed is there with Metcalf. Obviously. Sure. But he's not quick. And I prefer a guy almost like Jamison Crowder who was very quick and not necessarily a vertical burner. And the Skins don't need another slot guy. They're really hoping Trey Quinn can be that guy. They need an outside threat. And they need what Josh Doctson was supposed to become and frankly hasn't so far. I think later in this draft, second, third round, maybe fourth, is where there's a lot of value of a receiver. One guy whose name I've heard is Paris Campbell from Ohio State, who has that elite speed, but is probably a little bit better of a receiver at this point than DK Metcalf. What are some of the other guys further down? Or even tell me more about Hakeem Butler, who I believe has visited Ashburn as well.
Well, let's talk about Hakeem Butler. I mean,
that's your guy.
I just brought up the negatives and the issues I have with DK Metcalf. Hakeem Butler played him on the left side. You play him the right side. You play him the left slot. You play him in the right slot. He was one of the most productive slot receivers in this entire class at, I believe, 6'5", 227 with an 83rd percentile.
They want a big guy. That's a big guy.
And then not only was he productive in the slot, JP, he actually led this class in 20-plus yard catches and 20-plus yard catch receiving yards, okay? So he offers you the big play. He offers, and then you watch him against Iowa at that massive size, running this whip route where he sinks his hip, creates instant separation within 5 yards, and is able to do that in the short area of the field. He had a lot of drops. He had 12 drops last year, and it was like a 16% drop rate, which is massive. But to me, I don't want to let those 12 exposures really cloud and veil this entire positive evaluation. But I kind of feel like I'm on an island here with Hakeem Butler because he's not being projected by the NFL until about round two. But he would be a great value in that round.
I'll say this. Doug Williams told me when we were in Indianapolis that the Skins need to add a big receiver. 6'5", what'd you say, 227. Once he's in the pros, you probably get that up to 235 or something. That qualifies as big at the wideout spot. Jay Gruden loved Ryan Grant. You know what Ryan Grant can do? Play every position on the field.
There you go.
And that has a lot of value.
And JP, this is the year that the big wide receiver is back. Like, you remember we had that time in draft cycles where it was Julio Jones and A.J. Green, and then everyone's trying to chase that afterwards, like your Kelvin Benjamins, your Kevin Whites, your Brashad Perrymans, your John Baldwin in that same draft class, right? I mean, Josh Doctson is an example. Mike Williams went in the top 10. This is the first year that I can say that I'm comfortable that at least two or three big wide receivers, you know, 6'3", 220-plus pounds, are going to be successful. And so finally, we might have these big wide receivers that can also win small and win after the catch. And when that happens, like, those types don't grow on trees, right?
Sure.
And so they can really change and manufacture a passing game around them.
Skins need to find one of them for sure. We are getting very tight on time because Josh Norris probably has a limousine taking him to the Capitol Grill later tonight. Skins need a safety. They lost HaHa Clinton Dix. They cut DJ Swearinger before the year ended. I know they added Landon Collins, but they probably also need a center fielder. They need a speed guy. Landon Collins is going to help them tremendously in the run game. Is there anybody you like? And to me, this is going to happen later in the draft. We're looking for a deep cut here.
Maybe I'll throw out Marvell Telvin out of USC. 6'2", 198, an incomplete athletic score because he was injured, but what he has done has been outstanding, super athletic. But, JP, if we can go back quickly to their connection to Alabama and injured players,
sure.
Deontay Thompson makes a lot of sense.
Where is he going to go, though?
probably second or third round. So third round, he might be there. I mean, we sometimes do see these safeties. I mean, look, Eddie Jackson went in like round four, round five, right?
He's playing great.
He was coming off an injury, and he's playing great. So there aren't that many true free safeties. You have a lot of guys who run up the field and make a lot of big plays and big tackles. But I would throw out Deontay Thompson's name as a possible second or third round pick.
Thompson would be another example of a guy that was projected much higher, suffered an injury, and that's why he's sliding, right? The Skins have shown a track record of doing that, particularly in the secondary.
100%. And he is someone that would be a great complement to Landon Collins, because even when they signed him, they might have said, oh, he can play any safety spot. He's a split safety, yada, yada. When the games start happening, you'll find out that he's best moving forward and in the box.
One guard name for me before we have to go.
A
third round guard.
Phil Haynes out of Wake Forest. Yeah. There's a name for you.
You have an encyclopedia of draft prospects in your brain. All right. Norris, you and I will be back next week talking more Redskins draft stuff on Wednesday. Same time, same My Teams app. It'll be me and Chris Sims breaking down all of the Redskins quarterback prospects in this draft. That will include Josh Rosen, but we'll also have Haskins, Locke, Murray, and we're going to get a little deeper down the list. Ryan Finley, Will Greer, Brett Rypien, Jared Stidham, those types of players. Norris, thank you for your time, brother. Tell everybody where to follow you on Twitter and get all your good information.
Josh Norris on Twitter, and go and subscribe to the Roto-World Football Podcast. We got some good stuff coming this week.
Yeah, you guys are killing it on the podcast. You're killing it on Roto-World. Thank you very much for your time. Everybody, thank you for watching here on the My Teams app. We're back on Wednesday, 2:30. Me and Chris Sims talking quarterbacks. Be there.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.